To me, it's a great thing to talk with the people of God. And when I say that, I know that all of you are not people of God. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know to whom I speak. But it is a great privilege to talk to people of God. To talk to the people of the world, it is a privilege. But people of the world are beasts that will pass away. And though they be great orators, great educated men, great intellectual giants, it's not really a privilege to speak to them other than to be able to tell them about the gospel. Because the Bible teaches God is angry with the wicked every day. But to God's people, they are gods that never die. They live on and on eternally. They never die. These people know nothing of death, and they have great power. It's not been revealed in their life yet. But they have great power to control the heavens and the earth, and all things belong to them. And therefore, it is a great privilege when you know this and know them and realize that this is not a fairy tale, but you're actually dealing with gods that are eternal. This is a great privilege to speak to them. And Solomon, with all of his wisdom, one time said, Lord, give me an understanding heart that I might be able to speak to thy people and come in and out. Before them, he said, for who can speak to this, thy so great a people? And so this people is so great, who can minister to them? Who can speak to them? Certainly not the PhDs of today, not the men of the seminaries of today. These people cannot teach God's people. Even the greatest of intellects back there in the days of Stevens could not withstand the wisdom by which he spake. They couldn't understand because he was... The Bible said they beheld his face as that of an angel. Only God can speak to his people. Nobody, even Moses, said, I'm not eloquent. Neither heretofore am I eloquent, nor since you spoke to me am I able to speak to these people. God said it would not be you that speak, but the heavenly Father that speaketh from within you. And we might say this morning in trying to... go into the Mosaic side of the gospel, which is called the second book of Moses, the book of Exodus, having left off with the first book of Moses, which is the book of Genesis. And I say again, the way that Moses must have gotten these things was from God on the mount, because certainly nobody could have had a record in the garden. It must have been divine revelation, even from the beginning, that God dealt with Moses with. And gave him these things as he recorded the books and passed them on down to us. And then I spoke the other night concerning the educational system of today springing from Egypt and how that from Egypt comes civilization where God sent Abraham down into the land of Egypt and sent Joseph there to be a governor over the land to teach the people. And their civilization came up and we call it the story that he tells or his story today as they pass it on one to another that's called history or his story. And so this is not just his story. This is not just Moses' story, but this is God's divine word of revelation that's been proven through the years to be a divine word. Now, I believe with all my heart, I'm persuaded to believe that the trump of God is sounding in the land. I'd like for Brother Taylor to come, if he will, and draw kind of a silhouette of a man here with a trumpet over in this corner. And here I'd like to try to pick up for just a few minutes, if you don't mind listening this morning. We've been teaching and not preaching for a long time there. We preached and the brethren preached, and God wonderfully blessed and anointed, and we had good singing services, rejoicing and praising God. And then we felt that we was to turn off with the to the teaching and start bringing the teachings out, which we tried to wait to do until we got into the building. Now, I realize that these teachings, when I'm up here talking, that they mean nothing to a carnal-minded person at their foolishness. And even the time that you take up to sit and listen to them is a burden to you when you're carnal-minded because... you're just not interested in things like this. You'd rather go to the lakes and the seas and live in the flesh because you're fleshly minded. But to as many as can receive it, the Bible said, let them receive it. And to them that have ears to hear, Let them hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And so then these things are true. John said these things are true. The angel said to him these things are true. And these things are true, and we're trying our very best to do what we can to share them with you. And we're a human being just like you are, and we have taste and distaste and likes and dislikes. And a lot of times I dislike your attitude, and I dislike your disposition, and maybe you dislike mine. But in spite of all of this, I still intend to preach the gospel as much as life within me. And by the help of God, and though I meet continually as we come together with spirits of evil and resentment and distastefulness and people who have camouflaged themselves as sheep, that the Bible said inwardly are ravening wolves. But in spite of all of this, the gospel has to go on. For as the sons of God come to present themselves before God, the carnal mind comes also, which is the sons of Satan. They also come with their reasoning and their understanding and the way that they want to do and what they feel about it. But anyway, remember the rain is on the just and the just, and these teachings come down on the just and the unjust, and the briar hears it just like the wheat, because it takes this to make it grow. Everybody's growing, but there's coming a harvest. The seed has been planted, and the water is coming down, and then there is coming a harvest, and that harvest, of course, will be according to the nature and according to the seed, and at the end of the way, you will have grown up into the image of Christ or the image of the beast. Now, these teachings I believe to be the latter rain. Now, you say, well, I don't believe it. Well, you've got a right to believe what you believe. I believe it's the latter rain. I was shown in a vision when the women put on the long dresses that this was to come. It was to be the rapture of the church. Brother Branham himself even spoke of the last rain, the latter rain being a teaching rain. And I believe that this is the latter rain that was to come down upon the church. And I believe that this will rapture the church. Now, you say, well, I don't see anything happening. I tell you, people make a great mistake in looking for supernatural things. They look for supernatural things, but God is a supernatural God that always veils himself in a natural, tangible substance. You can look down into Egypt, and every great miracle or wonder that God wrought down there, he used the natural. He sent the bolts of lightning and the hailstones and the rain and thundering. It was a miracle. Moses prophesied it before it came to pass, but it still was natural things that he used. When they went across the Red Sea, it was a natural wind that he used to blow back the natural waters. And a natural people walked across on a natural ground. And in every case, wherever you find God, you see him working through a natural something that is really a supernatural veiled in a natural thing. And most people don't see God because they always look for something superficial or something that is not tangible, and therefore they miss God. But I thank God that through the years I learned these secrets, and for many long years I have, as Paul said, much revelation has come unto me in watching God and seeing God as he moved continually through the earth in his great wonders, his great signs. That's why the Bible said the things of God are foolishness to the natural mind. They are foolishness to the natural mind, because God is revealed in simplicity, and people who are not simple-minded in the sense of humility cannot see these things. And I don't mean simple-minded in the sense of the world. I certainly don't mean that. Now then, I believe, I'll say this again, I believe this to be the sounding of the last trump. Now, we taught this the other night, and I believe that this is the trump of God, and I believe that when the trump of God sounds, the dead in Christ shall rise. Now, you say, Brother Pike, do you mean to tell me that you believe that God himself is doing this speaking? I certainly do, for he said, it's not you that speak, but the heavenly Father that speaketh from within you. And I believe that the trump of God is the church, because God speaks through his body. Jesus Christ is the members of his body. And God speaks through Jesus Christ, and every man has a trump, which is his voice. But when the voice of the body in unity sounds together, it is no longer the voice of a man, but it is the trump of the Almighty God. Now, you say, well, Brother Pike, what do you mean by that? Well, I mean, as long as we haven't come into the knowledge of being the bodily membership of Jesus Christ under the fullness of the stature and to the head, then man is sounding in part, and that is his trump, wherein the Bible said, lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people of their sins. But when people are united together as one great body of holy confederation, and they come together in a compact unit, whereas God himself is the head of the church, the Bible said, the fullness of him that filleth all in all, and this Jesus Christ being the voice of God speaking from within the church, then this is the trump of God, wherein John, as he stood there with his hair as white as wool, that signified the judgment, as the judges of old that used to put on their white wigs to go to the judgment seat. Here, as he stood in the book of Revelation, the Bible said that his feet burned as it was fine brass, and his paps up here was girded about with a golden girdle. And then the Bible said that I stood there and his voice sound like many waters. And waters are symbolized as people, wherein he said, in that day when I bring Zion again, they shall all speak the same thing. They shall see eye to eye. And the Bible tells us that in that day and in that hour, that the voice of God itself shall be lifted up, the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise. Now then, if this truly is the voice of God, then that means that the Jews, which are the dead in symbol, will come back from the grave. And these Jews, Paul said, of the casting away of the Gentiles, be the reconciling of the world to God, the reconciliation of mankind to his master. Then he said, what will the receiving of the Jews be but the resurrection or life from the dead? And he said, well, why did Paul say that? Because he had had a revelation. He received a revelation 3 years in the Arabian desert. He received a revelation, and that revelation showed him that the Jews was dead and cast out of the presence of God, but that someday they would come back into the presence of God and it would be a resurrection. Is that right? So he said, when you see the Jews come back, know then that the days of the Gentiles are fulfilled and over. And so then he said, if the casting away of these people be the reconciling of the world, being blinded in part, do the fullness of the Gentiles come in? But he said, out of Zion shall come forth the deliverer, he shall turn ungodliness away from Jacob, and the whole house of Israel shall be saved. And Brother Branham tried to go to the Jews in his day. A lot of people said, well, it was over when Brother Branham was here. But it wasn't over. If it had been over, God would not have stopped him from going to the Jews. He got ready to go to the Jews to show them the sign of a prophet. And when he got ready to go, they said, if we can see the sign of a prophet, they said, we'll believe. And Brother Branham, I think anybody would acknowledge that he had the sign of a prophet. And when he got ready to go show them the sign of a prophet, God stopped him and told him he could not go. The time was not yet. Is that right? Is that what he said? All right, then if that be true, then there was something else yet to come. And that something else was the perfecting of the church. Where people made a mistake, Brother Branham had reached a perfected state, but the people had not reached it. He was just introducing something that the church was going to develop and grow into. And so then Brother Branham gave this great, wonderful sign among the Gentile church, and you might not believe it, but I believe that closed the door. I believe that that was the closing of the door to the Gentile age. You say, well, why do you believe that? Because it was in that very hour and in this time that we're in right now that these great things begin to happen to the world, just as it happened down in Egypt when we get down there, when Moses went down there to the people. All these things. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean? Don't you remember the burning of Egypt and how that while Brother Branham was here, how that the Negroes went in and burned our cities and just turned it into, everything was turned into corruption, and the Bible said down in Egypt, everything was turned into corruption down there. Well, this is the very thing that's happening in our day. The Bible said in Egypt the water streams was polluted. The air was polluted. Is that right? The fish died in the sea. Study science and see if that isn't what's happening to our streams today, in our cities today. See if the stuff that they're emptying into the ponds, it's killing out the fish that sit there and it's poisoning the waters. And everything is becoming a stink in the nostrils of God. We're in the great hour of the deliverance, and the Negro represented that church going out of Egypt, wherein Egypt was down there 430 years, and right to the day, 430 years, they came out of Egypt. On the 14th day, they came out. God appeared on the 10th. It looks like he always appears as a rule concerning the number 10. He appeared on the 10th, Abraham, and then in 7 days, the flood came. He appeared on the 10th. Over there to Moses and to the people, and told them to get ready. And on the 14th day, they went out of Egypt with a great hand when the blood was applied. And it seemed like God always follows that for some reason. Now then, the same thing that's happening to us today is happening, the sounding of the trumpet. God is beginning to sound the trumpet, and with the sounding, the Jew will come forth. Now, if what I'm preaching is true, the Jew will break forth and come forth. Now, you say, Brother Pike, how do you know that will happen? Let's just look at a symbol of it. We've got a natural state, a physical state, and a spiritual state as we've got outlined here, a 1, 2, 3 right here with the middle wall here, divided here. Now, we got this, and we speak of the last dimensional state of the gospel, which is the United States right here in this last, which is the Protestant age, the religious age, or the spiritual age. And in every age, there's a 1, 2, 3. In every age, there's a 1, 2, 3 of people, a 1, 2, 3 of God's action. And in this last state, there is a 1, 2, 3. And that which represents the Jew in this last age is the Amish people. The Amish people is represented by the last, in this last state, which is the United States, represented as the Jewish people. And how many know that the Amish people have continually been coming to this? Continually, even their ministers are accepting this. See, it shows what's happening abroad throughout the world as in this third state of types and shadows as it takes place. And now, this very day, we are supposed to go over here to the old folks' home, back over here. Now, to you, perhaps that means nothing, but to me, it means revelation. For God, who is within the veil, shows himself to those who look for him. The Bible said he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation to them that look for him. And Paul said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Therefore, you see him through the understanding of the enlightenment here. All right, now then, we go over there today. Brother Ernie Correll, which has been absent from us for a while, has just come back in here. His pattern has always been that of the Jew. I believe even Brother Ernie knows that and some of the others. And here Ernie is living right over here at the old folks' home where we're going to visit, right over there. And old folks are considered dead. When they get like that, they're taken out of the daily activity of life and things of mankind, and they're pushed off to themselves like dead folks. You know that when you go to visit with them. They're out of activity. They're dead, just like you and I. The Bible reckons us as being dead because we are not active in the world and the lust of the flesh. We've withdrawn from it. So then we go there today, or we are going to the old folks' home, which symbolized the resurrection of the Jew, which Brother Ernie coming back in symbolizes. He went over there. A lot of people didn't understand why he went over there. But God, the preparation of a man's heart is from God. You can't escape the mind of God no matter where you go. The Bible said, if you make your bed in hell, I'm there. If you make your bed, or if you go into heaven, I'm there. Take the wings of the morning to the uttermost parts of the earth, I am there. So then I watch the brethren, no matter where they go and no matter what their desire is, the mind of God sees it and he knows what's going on. Now, just like Brother Ernie Correll being over there, he got him a place over there, and he's right there. Why did God put him over there? Because the old folks' home is over there, and the old folks' home is where this message goes to symbolize the resurrection of the dead. That's right. Now, just like you've heard me speak of Brother Ernie Correll and Sister Dorothy and him being out in the desert, and what time they would come forth, and how I left at that certain time to go out there. They say, well, you just went out there and got them because you said they was coming. I beg your pardon. When I got out there, Ernie was hooking up the trailer ready to pull out. Is that right, Ernie? Hundreds and thousands of miles from where I was, but we spoke of it happening, and we spoke of Brother Ernie coming out of there. And I said, when Brother Correll comes out of the desert, Billy Paul and his mother also will come out of the desert right away. Is that right? Did they do it? Immediately, having big fine mansions out there in Tucson, Arizona, they immediately come out of there. Brother Ernie Correll took his, you heard me speak of the sounding of the trumpet, the little paper God impressed him to put out, being a symbol of the Jew, the voice of God, the trump of God, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is symbolized by the Jew, the church spiritual and parallel, and into the natural body of the Jew. Now, we heard him speak of this, and of course, Brother Correll, he come right out of the desert, but before he did, he went right down next door to the spoken word. Isn't that right? See, it's the spoken word that brings things into existence. That's why Brother Branham's ministry was called the spoken word, because that's what it was. It's the created thing, the word in the beginning, the original seed was the spoken word. Now, and so then, him running a Jew parallel, Brother Ernie, went right down there, right next door, and had this little tract printed up. You've seen it with the capstone on it, and I was watching the revelation of it, the capstone on it, and I spoke and said this. I said, they will eventually put a capstone on the pyramid of Egypt. They will do it, because that capstone is a cornerstone. It comes up in a corner, and the Bible teaches and symbols that pyramid is a type of the church, and they rejected the cornerstone, which is the head of the corner. Civilization coming from Egypt, and Egypt being a symbol of the world, this world belonging to God in the garden, Jesus Christ, the cornerstone was rejected, and Satan took over, and this world has been without a head ever since, and the tree of knowledge has guided it. But someday it will be capstone, and we will in the millennium out yonder know that it's capstone, because Jesus Christ, the head, is returning to the world, to the church. Now then, so you see why the education has to come up from Egypt and civilization has to come up from Egypt. There was no education until God sent Abraham down into Egypt and sent Joseph down there to be governor of Egypt for those many years. And with this, they were civilized down there and they understood. And from there comes forth what we call education. Now, so I don't believe it. Check your history books and see if it goes back to Abraham. It says Abraham called it by name. So then you see these things. Here, as we speak of them this morning, Brother Correll having this little pyramid coming out, and immediately, remember, Brother Branham died, and we went through Kentucky not too long ago, and you know what they did? They put a little capstone on his grave. It's a beautiful thing. I've never seen anything like it, but they put a capstone on his grave right there to show that this was the capstone message that was to come to the church, and as I had said of him, that he was a symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ, the head coming back to the body, just as the revelation of God has shown. And so then we spoke of a lot of things that we could not possibly bring out today concerning my own son, George Jr., being in the Army when they made him the honorary general over there, the Red Cross that was, and these other things. We gave Brother, some of these things sound like Greek to you, but we brought back a pair of combat boots from up here in Kentucky that Rick gave us and gave them to a boy by the name of Lamar down there was having trouble with his feet. Strangely enough, he was a paratrooper. All these things tied in. We can't tell you just exactly, but they tied in. And some of you individually has heard us speak of these things. Now, if I go to talk to you about them, your minds get scattered. You have to have people have to have a continuity of thought, or their thoughts get scattered. So we just have to follow a stream. Now, speaking of Brother Ernie, you know him. He's right here. So that captures your natural attention. You can kind of follow my thought. So we'll stay with this. Brother Ernie Correll coming out of the desert, crossing over the Mississippi. We took it in a family tree right here and run it out right here where Brother Branham started the whole thing. Isn't that right? He started it right here, and we might run through a little bit of this because the thing that we're going into, maybe tonight is the mosaic side of it, and maybe we can get acquainted a little bit with this. Well, we spoke about that Brother William Branham right here came on the scene being a root. The root, the offspring of David, and the symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the life here coming into this. We spoke about it in Joseph and the branches and so forth of the dreams he interpreted. And then we spoke of this, how that this root here sprang up into a voice of healing trunk right here, which was the voice of healing. And out from that came the branches of spiritual civilization, you might say, coming out all over the United States with T.L. Osborne and Oral Roberts and all these others branching out from it. And yet this God message down here was a one God message, baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But because Moses on the mountain, because he was so illuminated with the wrath of God, being dead to his own flesh, illuminated with the brightness, rather, of God, and because of this, the brightness of God to the sinner is death, but to us it's life. It's the wrath of God to them that cannot look at it except through the veil. And so Brother Branham here, coming up in the voice of healing here, this message here, it come up as a Trinitarian message, and the Trinitarian message is the veil. If you don't believe it, look back here at Calvary and see Jesus here and the two thieves on the either side of him, which is a 1, 2, 3, and here see how that this was divided into three parts. We brought it out the other night where the spirit separated from the body. Bible saying he made in himself twain, and the spirit went into paradise, which was Pentecost, the church over there. And we brought down in connection with Noah and the doves and so forth, being the Holy Spirit, how it ascended down on the Lord Jesus Christ over there, coming into the ark, and how it goes out right here out of the ark, coming down at Jordan into the ark here as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ to do all those great miracles for those 3 years. Here, the dove came down upon him over there and entered into him, said, "For within him I'm well pleased." That's the original rendered. And then over here when the thing was opened, wherein the Bible said that Noah took the covering off of the ark after they entered into the great new country of God, which symbolized the resurrection of the church here in what country we live now, in types and symbols, and yet we really are hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens receive. But anyway, here, you that can receive it, if you listen, I'd like for you to receive this. Here it divided, and the soul went into hell, which was this bloodshed age we spoke of, the dark age over there, that some of you are familiar with, where they martyred the saints, which is a symbol of hell, for blood symbolizes hell. And then over here, whereas the Jews was cast out of the mind of God and went into the outer darkness of the carnal mind. The carnal mind's called out of darkness. They that be asleep in the carnal mind, drunken off the cares of life, the day of God comes upon them unaware. For the day of God is this, that we look more and more into the perfect day. We are moving more and more, the Bible said, into the perfect day, which is the millennium. And yet, not only the millennium, but the perfect day is the day star that dawns within our heart, wherein he said, "I'll give you the morning star, Jesus Christ, the revelation within our heart, if ye overcome." And so then the Bible speaks of this day moving more and more toward the perfect day, the day without sin, the day without evil, and the day of daylight, for he reckons time from evening until morning. And with God, the breaking of the gospel is coming out of the night, coming into the daylight, the day star. Just as it is, if you go out here and you stay out in the wilderness all night long, you look, and just about morning, and the morning star starts breaking just before day. The time in between there, whereas the sun has gone down, and or rather the moon has gone out, and the sun has not ever come up. Now, I've been out in the woods, and I've seen this happen. So then it's a symbol of that period also of the tribulation in between there of the church, the going out of the church and the coming in of the millennium. I wish we could take time to break all this down, but we can't. So then you see right here, we spoke of this here, the Jew going into darkness. And then we tried to take a little time to show you Billy Graham and Oral Roberts and Brother William Branham as the great three here at the cross here in a symbol. Whereas we spoke of Billy Graham here being the water side of it, the natural side of it. See, the Jew going into outer darkness, because the Baptist people believe that the entrance into the church is through water baptism. And therefore, it's the water. People symbolize water. And here Billy Graham takes the water side of it. And they preach water. Preach water. All, this is the third dimension that we're speaking in. This is the Protestant age over here that we're speaking in. The third dimension, divided into three. So Billy Graham here, being in the Protestant age, he preaches water. And then we spoke of Oral Roberts. You know, the Pentecostal people, as a rule, all they ever preach is the blood. They don't care nothing about baptism. Now, they think you ought to be baptized if it's convenient for you, but otherwise they don't bother with it. It's not essential. And so Brother Roberts, being the great champion of that age, or these people of that sect, as Billy Graham is of this sect, and we predicted both of them would come together, which they did, and lead their people into the confederation of churches, blind being the angels down there that blinded the people. And so then, here, Oral Roberts in the blood realm, that's all he preaches, is the blood. But remember, it was the blood realm that suffered so. It was the blood realm that suffered so. Isn't that right? The blood realm suffers. And so then, the next one was Brother William Branham, which was the man that taught the spirit paradise, leading the people into the revelational paradise of God, the translation. And so you see these three things here that I wish that we had time to go into this and break it down according to the seven seals of the book of Revelation and what we understand, especially in the seal where the heavens was open and where Satan was cast out of heaven. But staying with the family tree here to give us a continuity of thought, then maybe sometimes we can take these in part one at a time as the Lord will permit and break it down. Now, I know that many things I'll never be able to teach nor break down, because it would take years to be able to really teach. But anyway, I want you to notice this thing right here. Now, everything that we do is revelational. Did you know that? Now, you might not see it, but I'm going to point out something here just to show you how blind the world is. People can be around something all their life and never see it, see, because they're not God-minded. A man can't receive anything save it be given him of God. But God is moving all the time. He's constantly moving. The children of Israel didn't see it, but Moses did see it because, as Jesus said, I do always the things that please the Father. He was watching what the Father did. I do what I see the Father do, he said, which was in spiritual revelation, because Jesus, being a man, did not see a natural God. I said, Brother Pike, what is it you say that some men don't see? Let's look at it and see how close you're watching things and see if you do see it. I'm standing here with a rule in my hand, isn't that right? I'm standing here with a blackboard, isn't that right? And I was speaking of the kind of mind being darkness. You understand what I mean? And see this white chalk appearing on this black. The teachers do it every day in school and never know what it means. But see this white penetrating here, see this revelation coming through the darkness and symbols? Me standing here with a rule where he said to the Jew, all the way to the prophets, to measure the Jew, is that right? So their measurement is the same as that of a man. All right, and here you see Brother Taylor standing over here, and you see me standing over on this side. And the Bible speaks of the law and of the revelation. Brother Taylor following the symbol of death the way he has, the letter that killeth as he writes it up here, to the carnal mind, this is death to you. You that get it in your carnal mind, it's death to you. Every man that learns the scripture, it's death to him if he doesn't get the quickening of it under the resurrection. And here we're bringing out, he's putting the natural, literal side over here, and over here I'm bringing out the revelational quickening side of it. For God said, I set before you a blessing and a curse, is that right? And so then it's running right down the line, one, two, three, right down the line, and every one of the briars getting it and the wheat's getting it. One's getting it under condemnation, under judgment, another's getting it under quickening of life. Is that right? So this running right down the line, what the Spirit saith unto the church. These things that are revelated is what the Spirit is saying to the church, the revelation of it. You understand what I mean? And so then you see these things. Now we could go on with a few things here and attach them in what's happening right around us, like Ricky getting his trumpet over there, the golden trumpet and all that at this particular time. But you know some of these things, and you're watching some of these things. But I want you to watch and see what's happening. Is that right? All right, now, just like David getting his drums, I'll let you figure out what it means. I'll let God reveal it to you out there. What it means. All of these things, you just watch, because something is taking place every step of the way. We're heading for the judgments of God. All right, now going back to this right here, look at this tree right here, this family tree coming up into the voice of healing, springing out into this veil. We brought it out the other night, how that Rebecca came to Isaac in the veil. Is that right? The church, which is God within the veil, like God within the veil of Jesus Christ. You believe that was a veil? The Bible said at Calvary the veil was rent in twain, isn't that right? God the Spirit within the veil of Jesus Christ, God the revelation within the glory, Shekinah glory within the veil that Moses placed over his face as a symbol of Christ, Jesus the prophet like unto Moses. The Bible said, come to pass, I'll raise up a prophet like unto Moses. And everyone that don't hear him should be cut off from among the people. Now, some of them said this was Brother Branham. It wasn't true. This was Jesus Christ right here. It was Brother Branham in the veil and the symbol and the father of. But anyway, this is the angel of Revelation 10 here, the one of the covenant. And we spoke of it the other night. This right here, reaching from Pentecost over to where we are, is the great rainbow age of the seven messengers that's reaching over the ark of God's covenant, wherein he saves us from the wrath of his reign. Just as he separated Goshen down there in Egypt. I wanted to bring this out that down in Egypt it was separated into two parts. Is that right? It was separated just like America, separated into two parts, Catholic and Protestant. It's been a Catholic age and been a Protestant age. And so down there it was in two parts. Then after that came the wilderness, which was the tribulation. Then after that come Canaan, which was a millennium. So then you see this right here. Ole Robertson one, Billy Graham in another, and here's William Branham in another. And Brother Branham starts this one God message. It goes into the veil, and then Rebecca finally comes across that heated, blistering desert. We spoke of why they washed each other's feet and give water. Abraham give water to wash the angel's feet, and we brought out as the type of the soul here in Jesus Christ doing the very same thing. When he come, Abraham gave him water to wash his feet. When he came over there, what did he do? He washed the seat of Abraham's feet, didn't he, in return? That's right. And so then you see the Lord Jesus Christ symbolizing this with the blistering desert, which is this parched, dry land wherein the Spirit of God is not, as we go across this to reach God over yonder the heavenly land. You understand what I'm saying? Those that wander through dry places seeking rest and can't find it, those that are without the waters of life, cast out of the presence of God, symbolized by the wilderness and that desert. But anyway, Brother Branham coming up here within the veil here, the Holy Spirit moving within the veil, saying that ye are the vine, ye are the vine. The Bible said, or rather Jesus said, I'm the vine, and yet ye are the vine in the sense that ye are the branches. So he said, I'm the vine and ye are the branches. Remember what he said? See how Brother Branham came up into that thing right there and the branches went out from him in the symbol? I am the vine, he said, ye are the branches. My Father is the one that owns it. He's the husbandman. And the Holy Ghost is that water of life that runs through it, that picks up those sediments or elements out of the ground. But as it picks it up, as the water runs through it, picking up these things out of the ground, taking it into the tree to feed the tree and to give it life, as the water or the heat of the sunshine comes down upon it and heats its little branches and leaves, and as the little leaves breathe and the water vaporizes into a steam from the heat of springtime or summer, then it draws the elements out of the ground here to feed the tree, and then the water goes up, as we said the other night, into a cloud, and then it returns, as Solomon said, everything in a cycle, going back into the ocean and leaving the little parts that it picked up, that is the elements of the ground that raises your food, picking that up, that brain in here, it leaves that in the tree, and the water goes back to take its job again and come back and pick up some more. And so then the Spirit does that very same thing. That's why we have to be filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says the trees of God are full of sap. It tells us to be full of the Holy Ghost. Though we've got the nature of Jesus Christ, for this tree is according to its nature. If it be an orange nature, it possesses that nature. But the thing is, it has to be filled and refilled, for as the Holy Ghost comes up through the branches of us, the Bible said, whose branches are tender, coming up through these, then it draws the Word of the living God into our heart. And it draws the potential foods into our veins and into our soul, so to speak, to feed us. And then the Holy Ghost goes back to God who gave it. And it makes a cycle, it comes back again for us to be full of the Holy Ghost. Our Bible speaks of the fig tree, speaks of the dew. You know, leaves are healing in a fig tree. And the Bible said when you see the fig tree, put forth the leaves, you know that summer's nigh, speaking of the dew. Isn't that right? That is, there's a springtime, which means resurrection is here, and that which is dead is coming forth. Because we spoke of it the other day, we tried to explain the springtime, how that it comes and brings the resurrection. Jesus come forth just at the resurrection, or that is, the springtime was set to come forth with his resurrection, because he was the springtime of life. And with the fall, life goes out, the sap backs down out of the tree, but the tree isn't dead. And that's where you folks are right now. The sap is back down out of the tree, but you're not dead. And then when the springtime of the sunshine of God comes forth, it pulls the Spirit back up in you. You start putting forth your leaves. The Bible said, like a tree that's planted by the water to bring forth your leaves and your season and your fruits, so not wither, which is the fruits of the Spirit. And whatsoever that man doeth, the Bible said, shall prosper. And seeing that this comes forth like this, in the springtime of the resurrection, you will come forth just according to God. But he moved away back here at Calvary for the church ages. He moved away that the thing might die for the reason that bugs get into trees. Bugs get into trees, and a lot of times little birds that symbolize angels come along to get these parasites off. Angels, in coming about people, take the parasites of evil spirits off to keep the tree from dying. Right here, working with you, the Bible said, like faith, and it grows up into a big herb, and then the Bible said, when it gets up into a big herb, that here comes forth the fowls and lodges in its branches, symbolizing angels. And so then in Jesus' parable, he tried to explain the kingdom of God in a compact way to where you could understand it by the measure, the leavening, and so forth, to show how it works. Well, here in this, God sends the wintertime, as he did upon Israel over there in the wilderness, to let the sunshine of hope go down, that you might die, to kill out the parasites that are in the church, but come in for society and social standing and business purposes and all of these other things, to kill that thing out, because they will lose interest in it when there is no real life to it. All the shouting, the jumping, and the hollering will stop as it is stopping, and all of that will be taken away. And all of this enthusiasm of the Baptists and the Methodists and all these other things, they'll die. They'll just die and rot. There won't be nothing else to them. Yeah, they say, I don't believe it. Wait and see if it comes to pass. That's the best way to know. They'll die and they'll rot. And it won't be but one thing left, and that'll be the trees of God, and it'll come up. It'll come up, and it'll be beautiful. The Bible said the trees of God in that day shall be so few, a child shall number them. That is, he'll kill out all the rest of the vines and the trees that suck out the life of it, the parasites and all these things that entwine itself about it to take the life. He'll do away with all of those things, the briars and the thorns, and then he'll bring up, as the Bible said, the myrtle tree. It'll all come up in that day, for the Lord Jesus Christ spoke it, and the Bible said the word cannot be altered or changed. For every generation is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So then, Brother Branham, coming up within the veil here, we see it in our age and giving a revival to the Protestant age. And then Brother Branham went out just according to what we said that he would do over there when his ministry would be finished. Brother Ernie coming out over there to symbolize this thing. And then we see that this thing come, it passed over, isn't that right? Just exactly like we said that it would do. And then this thing springing out within the veil right here, it gave the world a great revival in the Protestant age, didn't it? A great revival came out of this in the Protestant age. Is that right? It reached even unto the Holy Land, wherein the voice of healing has got church or churches right now. So then this thing reached right on up to Calvary. And you remember, they even come one man and brought Brother Branham some cufflinks that came from Calvary, where he hewed him out of Golgotha just before his crucifixion. When he got those things, I spoke of it being his death, and some of the things that the Lord spoke of there that showed me where he was headed. And if you'll notice that at that very time, it was a prophecy come forth concerning the man, because he'd chosen the hard way. The Bible, or this voice, said that a great portion of heaven shall be thine because you chose the hard way, which is Calvary. And so then right here, this within this veil, as we know it to be, that thing within the Trinitarian veil went on for a number of years, because it was Rebecca, the bride, within the Trinitarian intellectual veil, wherein we know in part and we see through a glass darkly. That's why God brought us over here on the other side of 78. We call the killer or Jordan over there, over to Mrs. Glass's place, where we rent from Mrs. Glass over here, because on that side it was to be the glass darkly, and we rent from Mrs. Glass over there, that we might come over to this where the veil would be taken away. And you say, well, Brother Pike, how do you know the veil was taken away? I spoke to them that could see it through Revelation, that Brother Franklin's tent, how it come over, and then down yonder the Lord spoke of it when John was down there symbolizing the Revelation. It picked the veil up, and John alone was there, which symbolized the Revelation in the eagle. Is that right? The little eagle that Brother said it makes his nest among the rocks, and he brought it from the rocks of Mexico. Isn't that right? Running back to Brother Zell over there in the day of the purchase back over here in Memphis. We spoke of these things concerning Egypt and so forth. And you know how the judge was down there at night. We were assembled, sitting around the fire. And y'all, all, some of you know, but I could never go back into all this, but just a little refreshing here. And so then, we see this tree right here within the veil. We see these things happening. And we see that Brother Branham here, God using Brother Branham to appear to him back there about 1946, the latter part of it. And then with that, the Jew going back to their homeland. And we brought out the other night about the old flag of David and what it represents. All of this is on tape somewhere. When I say we brought it out, it's on tape. Well, you can go back and check it. But anyway, here it comes up through this tree right here, into the branches right here. And Rebecca within the veil. And the veil was taken away in the symbol down here with Brother Walden's tent back down there when I said Upson County, going Upson in Upson County, where that little whirlwind come down like it did Elijah and picked it up, caught it away to symbolize the rapture of the church. The veil hung upon a tree, and I walked up, and God spoke to me and said, it's rent in twain. And I looked, and it was split right down the middle. We got some pictures of it here. So I spoke of Mr. Glass over here, the glass darkling, and the veil be taken away, coming over what they call the killer 78 out here, over Jordan, coming over here, crossing over muddy Jordan, when we've been with all this mud, and they go pave this road out here, just watch and see. And then we'll be over this thing here, and then we'll have our church out here in this little tent here. What is it? Palestine, coming into the Canaan land. I said that we intercepted these tents, whether it was going to Palestine, the governmental tents. Is that right? Going over into Palestine to the Jew, and we called it over here because God wanted this to be a symbol of Palestine. This tent right here, coming from a Jew. That's right. So then all these things fit together. If we had time to connect more things together, you could see more clearly what we're saying when we say see through a glass darkly, but when the glass of carnality, which means a glass in part, where do we see God in types and shadows? That's in part. We know him in part. And that's the glass darkly comprehended God by natural, tangible substance. But now, he said, there come a time when that which in part is done away with, and that which is perfect is come, when we'll see eye to eye and face to face when I bring Zion again. We'll all walk hand in hand. Won't break ranks. They won't. They say, well, Brother Pike, why won't they break ranks? Because there won't be any part. Every man will see eye to eye. As long as this man's got something and he knows it's from God, now that man's got something and he knows it's from God, and yet they've not caught the tie in between it, that man isn't going to yield what he's got because he knows it's from God. He's proved it. This man over here isn't going to yield what he's got. Just like take a natural symbol here. Look how Ford come out with the automobile motor. V8 was proven to be the best one. Isn't that right? Use the symbol V for victory. It was proven to be the best motor, but you couldn't get Chevrolet to confess that because they wanted you to buy their car. Now, but soon they learned it was a good motor, but they knew in part. They ain't had something. Chevrolet Fisher's known to put out the best body there is, isn't that right? They had it in part over here in the symbol. Well, naturally, Ford wasn't going to, I tell you that, even though Ford's bodies wasn't very good, being shaked apart. You see the Jew, the body, and you see within these things the spirit. I wish we had time to break these down. Brother Taylor and I discussed them. And then come along the Chrysler, which is known for the torsion ride, the air ride, which is the revelational type of the rapture. So you see, each one of them had a part. They wasn't going to yield it. But there came a confederation one day where they emerged one into another. Now the Chevrolet carries a V8 engine. It's become a perfection. Is that right? See, it's now they see eye to eye, the big three coming into a one. Is that right? That's what they call them, the big three. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's the big three that we're speaking of right here. Are they coming into a oneness? And so it is with the car. It's with everything you do. You look at it in the home. It's the same way. Knife, fork, and spoon, three major things. Everything you put on you, your dressing, and everything. If we just had time to break down two or three things here to show you, everything is a symbol of God, the three in one. Is that right? Is that right? Just break it down and see if I'm telling you the truth. And so then we see these things right here. Wherein this is within the veil. This is within the veil. God doing it in part, the glass darkly, for it is within the veil. But now, when Rebecca went into the chamber, the mother's chamber, wherein she became the wife of Isaac, then the veil was taken away. Now, this is coming through to the marriage. Is that right? Remember there had to be a period over there from about 3 months to 3 years over there. There had to be period in there wherein the woman that the king chose was purified. Isn't that right? Before she could come to the king. Is that right? You Bible scholars, is that right? All right, so then, what is it? God catches us away for 3 years to the purifying, caught away up in heaven, and then come back to the great marriage supper of the Lamb, which over there in Revelation, when we come back, he said, gather yourselves together for the great marriage. Is that right? Come to the great king's marriage over there, wherein, you say, what does the marriage symbolize? It symbolizes where the church, which goes up here, comes back to the Jew over there. Isn't that right? Coming back for the, I brought it out where the woman reaches maturity at 18 and she's ready to marry, the church going up 3 years before the Jew. And then the male, which is the Jew, how he comes at 21 and how they come together over there, coming back after the 3 years. You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking too fast for you. I have to talk fast. I can't possibly get in a third of what we're trying to say here. All right, so then we see that thing symbolized wherein Isaac takes Rebekah to himself after the desert trip, having gone down to Laban, the father's house, having gone down to Laban, the Laban the seer down there to Mesopotamia or the city of Nahor, which was Abraham's brother over there. Going down there, we see this thing, word that he sent for the bride for Isaac. Is that right? Now, that means you and I, we are in the land of the Syrians, the land of Laban down here. Is that right? And God from heaven is sending down here to get his son a bride to take it back up there. Is that right? All right. Now, where will it wed? Like Brother Al Gonzalez and his wife here, especially Sister Nobby, she was the one that caught this. Down here in Upson County, when this thing happened, I said, we'll not be defeated, for God said it's without the veil that the world might see it. So we set up a little teepee kind of thing. And Sister Nobby was excited, and she said, well, that's the way they do in Mexico when they're having a marriage. So that's the way they fix it, which was just exactly perfect. Well, we don't catch God, let somebody else catch it, right? In part, we get it, and then we piece it together for the perfection. So all coming together, they will not give up what they know, and they will sound their trumpet in part over here. We'll sound our trumpet over here, and they'll sound their trumpet over yonder. But there comes a time when the revelation of Jesus Christ is made known, wherein it shows what the Baptist is doing, and shows what the Methodist is doing, and shows what the Catholics is doing, and shows what all of them are doing, wherein we see all of their parts, and then we know all of it is one. Is that right? Which is the mind of God, wherein he said it would come together, that which is perfect. And then we see eye to eye no longer in types, symbols, and shadows, but we see him, we know him as we are known. That's exactly what's taking place. All right, now then, we see this right here, the latter rain that is the rapture of the church, wherein it says to whip the redemption of our body. Now, I brought out the other night where Jacob wittingly moved his hands. The Bible said he wittingly moved his hands. We say to be witty as a man is to be sharp and witty. No, to whip, which means to recognize that our body has also been redeemed, not in part as unto healing, but in fullness as unto perfect eternal life and hell. So then we see this. Here, as he wittingly moved his hands, wherein we whip the redemption of our body, and the body which is the natural part, the removing of the veil here at Calvary, wherein the man can go to be with God right here. You understand what I'm saying? This natural veil, the skin that he placed on him in the garden over there will be taken off. the beast smitten here, that the inner man might be released from the regime of the beast. So then we see it moving up into this thing and spreading out into this great, wonderful thing. The world is an anti or type of this. That's why it's called Antichrist. Anti means a type of, opposed to, or against. And so the world is a type of this. The world government is a type of the God government. The world is a type of the millennium that is to come. And the preachers are a type of the real men of God. That is, these intellectual people out here. But all of that is the veil. All of that is the husk that the swine fills his belly with. All of that in the world out there is nothing but for those who are carnal-minded, who are beasts, who have no part to eternal substance, that stays out there for a period of maybe 60 or 70 years, if they can stay away from death that long, stay out there and enjoy it. Because they have no part nor lot in this matter of eternal substance. Therefore, even the millennium itself is equal to about 12 lifetimes of this one little feeble lifetime where we run from sickness and sorrow, wrecks, heartaches, and everything. But the millennium alone would be 12 times of the pay that we needed to give up this life right here, wherein there is no sickness, heartaches, and sorrow, and whereas there is perfection. And then after this, then there will come forth that great wonderful place out yonder, which is called the eternities. But now let's just say a few things here. I'll close in a few minutes. I wanted to, it seems like I can't get, I get up too long by here, and then I'm done, give out of time, and I have to stop, and I can't finish that tree up. But I'd like to finish it up to bring it where we're at. But anyway, let's deal with the millennium just a little bit, just for a minute or two here. And Frank, can you draw me just a little space here and call it the millennium, something to keep their eyes and attention here as I point back to it. All right, now then, as you focus your minds and attentions on this, as Peter said, look on us, and yet not altogether on us here, in the sense that I want him to draw something up here to kind of keep your thoughts toward it. I know how human thoughts drift, and a lot of times we can concentrate on one thing, and it helps us to, you know, keep people's attention. Now, in the millennium right here, we're asked the question a lot of times, what will happen, and we brought out the other night as clearly as we could, as according to what we believe will happen. Before the millennium, I'm going to try to give this right hurriedly and try to close out till tonight. But before the millennium, we got people that's called premillennialists, and then we got people that's called postmillennialists, and all these intellectual scholars of today, they got all kind of names for it. But we're speaking premillennium now. We're speaking of before the millennium here. Now, you call us premillennium or postmillennium or whatever you want to call us. It don't matter, just as long as you call us a Christian. It says here the millennium now. Notice this, that 3 years we would say before the millennium, that is before the tribulation. Before the tribulation. All right, now, before that time sets in, the church will be raptured. We'll be raptured right here. We'll just put a little old earth down here. And remember, we're going to rapture up to the millennium, but actually all it is just a change. Because this very world that we're all in right now, this very earth, that dirt that you see out there is going to be the same thing. Now you say, Brother Pike, I can't believe that. Solomon said, one generation cometh, another cometh, goeth, but the earth abideth forever. And so then you see it's out there, and it's not done away with in the millennium. The millennium is not the new earth, as the Church of God teaches. That is absolutely wrong. Now, Church of God is a great church, and they teach a lot of great things, but it is not right. The millennium is not the new earth. The millennium is the restored earth. It's the restored earth. Now then, in the millennium right here, it's the garden brought back. It's what it is. It's the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I made the statement that the world goes through three great major cycles, and the millennium is the last cycle. It goes through a 4,000-year cycle, which is to the Jew, the water, the natural, the water world, the world of vegetation, for the life of vegetation is water. Then it goes through a 2,000-year cycle, which is the Gentiles right here. The Gentiles, which we call the physical, or which is the intellectual realm of it, called the blood or so forth here. And then it goes through a 1,000-year cycle, which is the church. This is to the church. Now, we're going through the church ages, and this is the kingdom age, but it's really the church age. It's the age for the church. Actually, it's the what we call, when we say church age, it's a little confusing because it's really the Jew age out here where they're made the head of the nations. We're going through the church ages now, and the real church age is when the city of New Jerusalem comes down and sets down on the earth after the 1,000 years millennium. So it's really the Jew age, but we refer to it as the church age to let you know that out there is where we'll have our liberties and so forth. And in the millennium, we will be angels, that is, glorified bodies to the Jew, and the Jew will tend the earth, the head of the nations, and there will be other nations out there in the millennium. Now, somebody asked me the question, Brother Pike, do you believe there'll be anybody else out there? There certainly will. According to what I understand, somebody told me there wouldn't be none out there. But according to what I understand, they will. But we are caught up here from the earth. We're caught up 3 years. Now, notice this. Brother Taylor, can you... We got this wrong here. This needs to be rubbed out and put along over here is what we need. This needs to be where we're caught up here. Just rub this out right here. The millennium in this circle will be all right. Now that I want you to notice is we're caught up from the earth right here. The Bible said up into the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Caught up here at His coming at the sounding of the trump over here. We are caught up right here at the sounding of that trump. We're caught up. Now, you who know these things and understand these things realize that God has translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. We're sitting together in the heavenly places. Whom the heavens have received. This revelation is catching us up. Bible said, you're not of the world, for I've chosen you out of the world. Is that right? And you're hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the millennium, time of restoring of all things. The restored earth, the restitution, the Bible calls it. God's restitution. All right, now then, notice this now. We are caught up. They use the word rapture, which is not in the Bible. The word caught away is in the Bible. And Bible scholars call it rapture, which means caught up. And we use the term millennium, which the Bible doesn't use millennium. It says thousand years, and the word thousand is millennium. So Bible scholars use the word millennium. All right, now, which is a thousand years reign. So then the church here, Brother Taylor can step over just a little bit here where you can see. The church here is caught up. As it's caught up to be with the Lord Jesus in the purifying state that we spoke of, wherein the woman is purified with all the spices, and they go through the perfuming and all these things before she is allowed to become the wife that has come to the king. She goes through these things right here. Though He's already chosen her, yet she has to go through this purity. Now, God has already chosen us as a bride. And remember, now the woman is raptured 3 years. Is that right? 3 years here before the male gets ready, speaking from the natural aspect of it here. 3 years, 18, the law says she's ready for marriage. So she goes up to the purifying. Then after she goes up to the purifying right here, and we'll try to bring this out to explain why these things will happen in the millennium. All right, now then, if she goes up to the purifying right then she comes back down right here. She comes back down after the 3 years of the purification. She's gone up. She's got her wedding garment on. She's got everything ready now. And then she comes back down over here after the tribulation. Now, when she comes back down after the tribulation, she comes back to the Jew. That's where she comes back to. Remember, that is the male. Comes back. It's 3 years later, making him 21 in the symbol here. Coming back to the Jew. And you say, why would the Jew be the male or the husband? Because the Jew is the husband to America. The seed of reproduction in America from religion comes from the Jew because salvation is of the Jew. That's the male aspect. We brought it out, come from the man to the woman, and go back from the woman world of America back to the Jew. All right, the ruling will go back. You'll see a change in it. We're the male. But that was really the beast is what it was. Intellectual knowledge, the German is the smartest man on earth. He's intellectually smart, and he's so smart he outsmarted himself. I don't mean it wrong by anybody that's a German. I don't mean that. I'm talking about their system over there. If you're German, that has nothing to do with it, because Martin Luther was a German and one of the finest men that led the Protestant age. I'm speaking of the tree of knowledge, the system. They claimed that they was the head of the nation, and they tried to kill out Adam, which was the Jew, to take his wife away from him, which was America. And, of course, they wound up taking the Catholic Church, which was Eve, and never did get married. So, but anyway, here you see this thing. If we had time to go into it, we'd show you just exactly how the birth of Cain and Abel and everything come about, and how the German took them as it was there in the garden. But you see this coming back now over here. You see it coming back right here where the Jews will wed the nation, the sons of God, take himself. It happens in the church the same way to the church. It happens to the bride the same way to the Lord Jesus Christ. For the body is made for the Lord, and the body is the bride. He's the Spirit, the quickening Spirit. All right, now then, the body is the Lord's, which is the bride. Now here it comes back over here. It comes back, and then when it comes back right here, for 1,000 years, we bind Antichrist. We bind the false prophet. We throw both of them into the lake of fire. We bind Satan for 1,000 years and put him in the bottomless pit. And then we rise up and we kill every person that's got the mark of the beast. Every person will be slain. There'll be a warfare wherein men will pull a sword. And you hold your temper now. And you let them do you anyway now. But in that day you won't release the temper. But what you will do, you'll release your wrath as God upon them, and you'll slay them. You'll literally just let everything go that you've had stored up within you as far as against evil. And there you will kill them, And only those who do not have the mark of the beast will remain in the millennium. Those who have not taken the mark will go on into the millennium, and this will be the nations where the Bible said the Jews, the man-child, shall rule them with a rod of iron, Jesus Christ. So these will go on in to the, well, as they go on to it, really continuing on this world. This thing I'm speaking of tribulation is just something that happens while we're away from this earth, and we come right back to the same earth right here, and the government's still going on through the 3 years, and then after that we start building back the houses and so forth. All the chaos has been here where America's wrecked with the atom bomb and all these things that Brother Branham spoke of. His salt and ashes revelation shows it's coming. We speak of that sometime in the book of Revelation. I think we made a tape the other night where the islands were moved out of their places in the book of Revelation. But anyway, we come back and this thing emerges into the perfect day, the perfect age. It goes into it, and these people are the ones, and these nations are troubled no more until after the 1,000 years. And then Gog and Magog is released, which we have a symbol of it after the United States, which is a symbol of 1,000 years. We have a symbol of Gog and Magog now working through the Arabs, and its symbol and types going up against Jerusalem over there right now, coming against them in the type over there, just as they will do. And the Bible said, fire come down out of heaven and consume, and I predict them coming together over there, that that's exactly what's going to happen. The Jew will use the atom bomb, and fire come down from out of heaven, as we say, because that is the elements. Peter said, seeing that the elements will be on fire, and I predict that by revelation that they'll take that and they'll burn those people up, for the Bible said that they will be burned up, and after this he saw a new earth. And so then in the burning of this thing will bring the millennium in as a symbol of the new earth, just as it will bring in after the millennium. The great, great thing that happens over there, there will be a great, the thing will just be torn up. America will be torn up. The fire will come down. And these people that gather against Jerusalem, all nations coming here with Gog and Magog, said in that day, a evil thought shall come in the mind of Gog and Magog, and they'll say, let us go up against the cities of unfenced walls, wherein we take ourselves a spoil. Now, I mentioned the other night, unfenced walls means no arms or protection, no warfare. But then this bomb comes down, and it consumes the people right there. It does away with them right there in a tide. So then we, until after the millennium, the real thing doesn't come until after the millennium. And with the ending of the millennium, these nations are again troubled. Remember, America has been a symbol wherein we've had peace over here for many years. You say, Brother Pike, we've had nothing but war. Not in America, my friend. You haven't had any war in America. We used to see these things in the movies wherein Germany was having these problems, but not America. But now we're having it in America. See, it's been a peaceful nation like the millennium over here, and all the wars has been fought on foreign soil. But see, now that after this comes the fire down out of heaven, that's what's going to be the bombing of the United States. And Brother Brown didn't say this by revelation, but he said it by vision. He saw this thing in a vision many years ago, many, many years ago. Well, I'm speaking of it in the mind of Christ for revelation. It shows what the man said is thus saith the Lord. And the mind of the Lord Jesus being revealed here where the Holy Ghost shows you things to come by the mind of God. And so then we see that just as he said is coming to pass, which is that third part the book of Revelation speaks of, the third part of all these things being torn up over there. When we get into the book of Revelation, we'll refer back to these things and bring it out as we have been trying to bring it out before. So then after the millennium, you see that these things will take place. After the millennium, after the 1,000 years, then will come the fire and will go into the age wherein New Jerusalem comes down. John said, I saw a new earth. It'll set down on the new earth, that beautiful city. So if you can see what I'm saying here in closing, if you can understand what I'm saying, there was 2,000 years, 4,000 to the Jew, 2,000 to the Catholic, which has been the intellectual age. This is the agricultural age. It deals with the earth, just the natural earth for vegetation and life and fruits. And this right here, the body part of this right here, is the intellectual part that deals with the soul and its symbol right here, where people are in the age right now of intellectual indoctrination, symbolized by that time of the dark age. But coming over in the Protestant age, and God divided the two ages to give us the title of the millennium, and yet it's one age, which is the intellectual age. That's the 4,000, 2,000. That means that we're at the end of the 2,000 now, the 6,000. There's one more 1,000 years that God will deal with this earth, and that'll be the last 1,000 years of this earth. And then after that, this earth will be done away with. So that 1,000 years is where the church have their privilege. See, and here the Jew had their privilege, which was the kingdom age back there when David reigned. And in this age right here, the intellectuals, the educational system has had its privileges, for it's ruled the world by education. But in this one, the millennium, the 1,000 years, the last one, the church will have its privilege to rule it by the Spirit. It'll come to pass, just as we say, that's a thus saith the Lord, and you can count on it. It'll come to pass just exactly like I'm telling you right here. Now, the mind of God shows it'll be just that way, and this world will not pass away until that last 1,000 years comes in right there. You check God's word and see if I'm telling you the truth. So there is another 1,000 years. Everybody is worried about this world being over, but there's another 1,000 years of it yet. You can be sure of that. And then after that, there's coming a new earth. Now let's stand together. I appreciate your attention. I hope I didn't wear you out. I hate to take time like this, but I just don't know what else to do. I mean, I don't know. Even with what we're saying, we're barely getting in a fraction of it here, so I don't really know what to do unless I do this. And if I'm not pleasing you, well, you just have to tell me, because that's the only way I know. Praise the Lord. Let's sing the song, Amazing Grace. Amen.